Amen. You may be seated. I'm so thrilled to be in the house of God with you today. I want to tell you about Wednesday. I was sitting on the couch at home and I'd get up and I'd look out the window. And I'd go sit on the couch and I'd get up and I'd look out the window. And I'd get up and look out the window, then I'd go sit on the couch. You know, I know the Lord knows what we need. And I'm thankful that God sent us the ice last week because I'm sure we needed it. But praise God, the roads are clear and we can be here today, right? I'm excited to be here with you. Looking forward to our Bible study. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to begin reading in verse 15. Title, of course, we're at the point of our study where we're going to talk about the Word. The Word of God. Once again, I want to ask you, I know you've been standing a while, but let's stand in reverence to the Word of God as we read today. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15, says, "Therefore, I also," the "I" there is, of course, the Apostle Paul as he writes to the church at Ephesus, "Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His mighty power." Now we're going to stop right there and let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we bow to You today because You are God, all-powerful, all-knowing, Father. You are the one and the only true God, and Jesus is your Son and the only way to You. Today we approach You, Lord, asking for Your guidance in this study. Father, we know we can not create understanding of ourselves. We know, Lord, that we need Your Spirit as we look into Your Word. And I pray now that, Lord, as we study this, that You would stir our hearts and give us a love for Your Word such as we have never had before. A desire to know You, Lord, and to grow in our relationship with You deeper and deeper with each passing day. Lord, we love You and we thank You for all things. But we thank You most of all for Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. It is in Jesus' name we pray and ask these blessings. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, the study, as I said, is the Word of God. The Word of God. The theme of our study has been desiring God. Right? Do you desire God? Wouldn't you like to desire Him even more? A vital part of your relationship with God rests in the time that you spend in the Word of God. My goal in this study is that you have a desire, a love for the Word of God such as you've never had before. So we're going to start with a question today. Why should I study the Bible? Why should you study the Bible is the question. Well, you know, you're supposed to, Brother Doug. Well, it's got to be more than that. You know, I can guilt you today. If you didn't, you know, I beat you over the head with the Bible and talk about how terrible it is if you don't study the Bible. But I want to be quite honest with you, that'll never do. That might get you over for 2 or 3 days, but you'll get over the guilt and fall back into the old habits. What we have to develop is a desire for God, a desire for the Word of God. And for us to do that, we have to answer the question,
Why should I study the Bible? The answer to that question is, number one, the knowledge of God. So that you may have a knowledge of God. Now, the Ephesian believers knew about God. And I'm going to throw this out there. You're probably here today because you know about God. Right? Do you know about God? Man, a few of you do. We need to educate the rest of you. Well, see, the Ephesian believers, they knew about God. They were saved. Paul is writing to saved people here. But Paul's prayer is not that they know about God, but that they know God. You see, there are a lot of people that you know, or that you know about. You may recognize their name. You may even recognize them by their face. But you don't know them until you have sat down with them and they've shared their heart with you. They share their likes, their dislikes with you. They share what they desire in the future. You know, that's how you get to know someone, is sitting down with them and hearing from them. That's Paul's prayer for this church at Ephesus, is that they go deeper, that they want more than just that salvation experience with God. And sadly enough, a lot of people stop right there. I'm saved, you know. I'm going to heaven. Well, good for you. Yeehaw, I'm glad, right? But is that all you got? Is that all? I mean, really, is that... God didn't save you so you could say, yeehaw, I'm going to heaven. God has deeper plans for you. A deeper desire that you know Him. And that's what we're talking about here. You know, I've heard people talk about, well, I don't understand the Bible. And I've even heard people say, well, you know, preachers should just stick to preaching about salvation. Leave the other stuff alone. Just stick to salvation. Oh, no. No. There's too many that just have the salvation and never go on. And if you think that a preacher should, you know, just stick to salvation, Hebrews chapter 6, you can run over there with me if you would. Y'all have learned by now that we're going to use this Bible. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. The writer of Hebrews, speaking to those people, he points this out. He said in verse 1, Hebrews chapter 6, and verse 1, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. That word perfection doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. It means to finish something. Finish what you start. See it through. Go to completion. It says that we leave the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ and let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Paul's saying, listen, folks, you've got to move on. There were some folks that had that mentality. Well, salvation, salvation, salvation. I want to tell you something. Once you got it, you got it. Right? If you've been saved, you're saved. You can't add to that salvation. It's by the grace of God through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You have the forgiveness of sins. And because He lives, you too shall live. Glory, hallelujah. What a wonderful story. But if that is as deep as you go, you're missing the point. The point is relationship. Relationship. Again, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 2, the doctor, he's saying, what you need to move on from. Not laying in the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. That happened when you were saved. The doctrine of baptism. You know, you can only preach so much about baptism. It means to dunk them. Immerse them. Stick them under the water. Hey, represents the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And it's a wonderful, beautiful picture. But you got to move on from those basic things. And he tells us why there in verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 6. Stay there with me if you would. For it is impossible For those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the power of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance. It is impossible to renew them again. The idea there is not that you can lose your salvation. The idea there is that you can't stay on the subject of those elementary principles like salvation all the time, because even if somebody could lose their salvation, which is not possible, but if they could, you couldn't save them again. You got to have a desire to go deeper, is the point there. You've got to have a desire to know God. And let me tell you, okay? This knowing God is your responsibility. It's up to you. You know, I mean, you have to spend time in the Word. 2 Timothy 2:15. Turn over there with me if you would. Keep those Bibles rolling. I love to hear the pages, right? If we're going to preach the Bible, we use the Bible, right? 2 Timothy chapter 2. And verse 15, Paul's writing to young Timothy, pastor of the church at Ephesus at this point. And he says, be diligent. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. The King James says, study to show yourself approved. Let's be diligent to present yourself approved to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He said, Timothy, here's your responsibility. And just prior to this, he's talked to Timothy about vain words and useless speeches and all that. He said, Timothy, here's what you need to focus on. You need to be diligent. That word diligent means to work hard. You know Bible study's not easy, don't you? I mean, spending the time and putting forth the effort, it requires self-discipline. You have to tell yourself, no, I'm not going to do that because I'm going to spend time in the Word. That's where it starts. Now, the more time I spend in the Word, the more time I want to spend in the Word, and it seems like, okay, that's not self-discipline anymore. That's just God puts a desire there, right? But you got to start somewhere. You've got to say, I'm going to turn off the TV. I'm going to give up some other activity so I can spend time with God. That's where it starts. And then you got to, then you have to dig into it. Don't settle for just reading. Oh, reading the Bible is wonderful. But don't read the Bible as a book. The Bible is a spiritual book. And it has to be read with spiritual eyes. Be diligent enough to do it. Right? I'm going to spend time in the Word of God. Use that self-discipline. Be diligent, rightly dividing. Here we go. That phrase, rightly dividing, means to cut a straight road through difficult terrain. Have you ever heard people say, well, you know, I try to read the Bible, but I just don't get anything out of it. Have you ever read the Bible and didn't get anything out of it? I have. You're the preacher. That's right. I've read the Bible and didn't get anything. But you know why? The problem was me. The problem was me. If I just read the Bible because I'm supposed to read 5 chapters a day, I find I don't get any, I don't gain from it. If I read the Bible because I'm reading a Bible plan and I got to fill in this blank and I don't get any, I don't. But when I read the Bible to know God, oh, everything changes. Have you ever looked at the Word of God and you didn't quite understand it? You know, you're reading something there and studying and you say, I don't get it. You read it again. I don't get it. You read it again. I don't get it. I don't understand. There have been times, this is Confessions of a Pastor this morning. There have been times I've stopped and I've just laid my Bible down in irritation and back up and say, okay, God, Sunday's coming and I don't get it.
And God's response is, okay, now you're getting it. You can't do it without me. You know? It doesn't work without God. You've got to rightly divide the Bible. You've got to have the guidance of God. That's why prayer is such a vital part. Let me tell you something. You better be right on the way you interpret the Bible. I hear people, you know, all the time say, well, everybody's got their own interpretation of the Bible. No. There's only one interpretation, and that's the right one. Right? You better get it right. Why? Because eternity is at stake. You better know how to be saved. And you better make sure you're right about being saved, because your eternity is at stake. You better know how to tell people how to be saved, because their eternity is at stake. And if you're like the Jews of Paul's day, and you say, yeah, you know, Jesus died for your sin, but you got to work to keep that salvation, you're leading them to hell. No. You've got to know. You've got to rightly divide. You've got to cut a path. A straight road through the Bible. Listen, people need answers today. People need answers. And do you know who's supposed to have the answers? Not the preacher. Not the church staff. But all of us. Why? Do you have the answer? Do you have a Bible? The answers are there. The answers are there. You need answers. You know, the world today is scared to death. We went through 2 years or 3 years, still going, whatever, of COVID. And people were afraid. Now, last week, Russia has invaded the Ukraine and people are afraid. You know what people need? They need answers. The only answers are in the Word of God. Right? There are answers there. Even to the point, you say, Brother Doug, you know, is there somewhere where Russia and Ukraine is specifically addressed? No, that's not what I'm talking about, but I'm going to tell you what is addressed. Right? What is addressed is how this thing's going to end. I know where we're going. I know where I'm going. I know, okay, I don't know every event that's going to take place in between here and there, but one thing I do know, I don't have to have and live in a spirit of fear. Right? Why? Because I know Jesus. I know. And friends, you need that knowledge in everyday life. You need that knowledge, and this is the part of it that you're responsible for. You have to put forth the effort. Has to be your effort. Brings us to the second part, the conviction. You know, have you ever wished you had more conviction? If you'll notice Paul's prayer back in Ephesians, in verse 17, said that He was praying for their knowledge, but what about their knowledge? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give. Now, you want to stop right there and get that word, that He may give. This is something God gives. Now, you remember, knowledge is something you go get. You get by spending time in the Word, but God has to be involved also. See, if God's not involved, then you don't have it. Have you ever known people who knew a lot, but it did them absolutely no good? I've heard people say, he may be book smart, but he hadn't got any common sense. See, here's where we're going to get into. You can have knowledge of the Bible and not benefit from it until God's involved. Okay? So he's praying that God, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. I love this part.
And the reason I love this is the part that doesn't depend on me so much. It is me depending upon God. You know, it's like I said, sometimes I study and I think, I don't get it. Lord, I don't get it. Lord, I don't get it. Lord. And I stop and put it down. Lord, I need your help. And then it's amazing when I come to that point, how the light just seems to come on. Oh, I didn't understand that. Lord, thank you. And it's like the Lord says, when are you going to learn? You can't do this on your own. It's me that makes Bible study worthwhile. See, He gives the spirit of wisdom. And that's what this is talking about. The word wisdom, it means the ability to use knowledge correctly. And this is where... Don't open your Bible without prayer. Okay? They go hand in hand. If you are going to get anything from the Bible, and there are people who read it all the time and don't get anything, you better pray about it before, during, and after. Because you have to have God's guidance. I still hear people say, I read it and I didn't get anything. Did you ask God for it? Or were you just feeling a blank? It matters. And listen, the Bible is God's set method of communication with you. Okay? This is how He's chosen to communicate with you. Now, we talked about desiring God and spending that time in prayer and being quiet, being still, and knowing that He's God and God speaking to your spirit, and He does. I want to tell you, if that's all you got, you don't have very much. You've got to have a direct line of communication from God. And that's what this is. When Paul's praying for the spirit of wisdom, he's saying, okay, God, take their knowledge to a new level. John chapter 16, verse 13. Go there with me if you would. Whoops. The disciples. Jesus is teaching His disciples and He's getting ready to leave. And He's saying, okay guys, I got this to tell you. Look at verse 12. John chapter 16 and verse 12. Jesus says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. You know, Jesus has been with them for 3 years and He's at this point, He says, man, I've still got so much to tell you, but you're not ready. You're not ready. But verse 13, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you to all truth. For He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you of things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. See, that's the part of Bible study where it comes alive. Where words are not just words on a page. Words jump off that page into your heart. This is what we're trying to... what we desire in Bible study. Yes, it starts with our effort. But you have to get God involved in asking, God, speak to me through Your Word. You've got to have God's guidance. Paul prayed for their spirit of wisdom. Lord, how do I apply this? I've told you before, you have to ask, how does this apply to me? How does this apply to my life? What does this mean to me? How does this change me? But not only wisdom, Paul asked for the spirit of revelation. The spirit of revelation. This is one of them make you nervous words, right? You know what that word revelation means? He's not talking about He's going to give you a new book of the Bible called Revelation, an updated version. That's not it, right? It means to uncover, to reveal. If you're going to know God, and listen to me very closely, if you're going to know God, God is going to have to reveal Himself to you as you study the Word of God. Again, this is the difference between reading a book and hearing from God. And I want to tell you, God still reveals Himself through His Word. Again, it's the only... It is... I know of no other avenue of communication that God has established for you to learn so much about God so that you may know Him intimately. God has to reveal it. Let me ask you a question. Let's be serious for a moment. How long has it been since God revealed Himself to you? We'll let that one digest just a minute. Where you knew you heard from God. That has to be the desire of our heart as we study the Word of God. Again, don't just read a book. I mean, there are a lot of books out there. But the Word of God is alive. And when we approach it from the right viewpoint, when we'll approach it as being alive, when we approach it as God, give me the wisdom, the ability to use what You give me. Lord, reveal Yourself to me. I want to know things I've never known before. When we approach it from that standpoint, things change. You know, God called David. What did He say about David? He said he was a man after My own heart. David knew this stuff. He knew that God was real. He knew the power of God. And it's because when he was out there keeping the father's sheep, it was just him and the sheep. God was the only one he had to talk to. I'm sure his prayer life was very strong. I'm sure his knowledge of the Scripture was very strong. He said, Brother Doug, he didn't have a Bible. Oh, they had Scripture. Old Testament Scripture. Bible study is a spiritual experience. You approach it from that point of view. Not just reading a book. Number three. I knew in the Word of God, we find knowledge of God. In the Word of God, we find the conviction from God. In the Word of God, we have the assurance of God. Look at verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe. Back up to the top. The prayer is the eyes of their understanding being enlightened. That word understanding, the Greek word is cardia. Does it sound familiar? Cardiac, heart, right? He's saying the eyes of your heart be opened. Again, this is what God does. He opens your heart. This is going from a head knowledge to a heart knowledge. How can you, have you ever looked at someone and said, how can you call yourself a Christian and act that way? I'm going to tell you, they have a head knowledge, but it hadn't made it down here yet. Right? How can you call yourself a Christian and talk ugly? They have a head knowledge, but it's not here. How can you call yourself a Christian and fight and feud among the brethren? Head knowledge, not a heart knowledge.
There are a lot of Bible scholars today. There are very few who have a head knowledge and a heart knowledge. Because you see, knowledge is not in itself an end. It's not in itself the goal. Knowledge is the avenue to a better, deeper, stronger relationship with God. Right? God does His part. You do your part. And here are the results. It's assurance that we have in God. Here's where it gets fun. And I'm going to have to stop in the middle of this because I'm going to run out of time. But I'm going to start it this morning and we'll finish it tonight. Okay? You want to do that? You want me to go all the way through? Bless your heart. Let's talk about assurance. You realize this book is full of assurance? The assurance, he said, of the hope of His calling. What is he talking about there? Well, first of all, let's go back up, that you may know. That word know is different than the word used in verse 17. That word know is odia. And it means to be very sure, to be certain of something. Here's our conviction. You know why we have weak Christians today? Because they don't have the assurance of the Word of God, because they don't spend time in the Word seeking guidance from God. Okay? But when you spend a little time in the Word of God and you approach it from that point of view of it being spiritual and God doing His part as you do your part, then the assurance begins to come. The light comes on. You have assurance of salvation. You know, you read John 10:28. Run over there with me. You need to see this for yourself. John 10:28. Here's the assurance. Are you assured of your salvation? You know, there are a lot of people who are not. And everybody has doubted at some point. But when you doubt, what do? You sit there, oh, I don't know if I did it right. I don't know. Well, you know, the devil's an accuser, right? He accuses you. Oh, you didn't do that right. And when the devil accuses you of not doing it right, if you can go back to that point where you remember you called on the name of the Lord, you just go back and say, devil, it's not about what I did. It's about what Jesus did, right? I trusted Jesus as my Savior. And John chapter 10, verse 27, here's my assurance. And you need to be able, you know, this should be highlighted in your Bible, right? Let's go to verse 27. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. You know Jesus knows you, right? I mean, He knows you. He knows what you like. He knows your weakness. He knows your strength. My sheep know my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them. You can dissect this scripture any way you want to. But it says the same thing. When it says, I give them, it is a done deal statement. I give them. They've got it. And I love how it continues. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. I love that word never. You know what it means? It's a never, ever, ever, never, never, no way, no how. It doesn't matter if Satan himself's looking you in the eye. He can't do anything about what God has given you through salvation in Jesus Christ. See the assurance there? When you read it from that perspective and you begin to see the mighty hand of God. Oh, and neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Not only can you not lose it, nobody can take you away from Jesus. Nobody. 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 There's your assurance. If you have called on Jesus, the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. That's what the Bible says. If you've done that,
You're done. It's time to move on. Don't listen to the doubts of the devil. Have the assurance of the Word of God. Not only is there assurance in our salvation, ooh, it's leaving me. There's assurance of God's presence. Do you understand how important God's presence is in your life? Have you ever felt like you're alone? Hebrews 13. Let's go back over there and let's get some assurance. Are you going through tough times, scary times? You don't know how this stuff's going to turn out? Let me give you some assurance in the Word of God. Hebrews 13, verse 5. He says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have." Here's where I want you to notice. "For He Himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.'" You realize how rock solid that statement is? I mean, it's an assuring, done deal that it's not going to happen. God's not going to leave you. Verse 6, "so that we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper.'" You ever wonder how you're going to get through today because you know you got some tough things coming? Here's your assurance. The Lord is my helper. I'm not alone. Praise God. As long as He's with me, I can face whatever I need to face. There's your assurance. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. I figured out at this point in life, you can either be afraid or you can be filled with faith, but you can't be filled with both. Right? God's God. You're not alone. What can man do to me? I like how that is. I don't have to be afraid of anybody. See, these are assurances that come from the Word of God when it's approached from the right perspective. Assurance of heaven. One of my favorite verses, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. What happens if you get that news that this life's almost over? This life's almost over. We never know what tomorrow holds. 2 Corinthians 5:1. "For we know." You know what that word "know" means? It means "I know." "For we know that if our earthly house of this tent is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." I want to tell you something. As a child of God, when you close your eyes for the last time on this earth, you open them in the presence of Jesus Christ. You need that assurance. You need that encouragement. Jesus returned. How many times have I said my favorite scripture? Today, 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. You know Jesus is coming back, right? Here's the issue. How do you know? They've been preaching that for forever. Here's how I know. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, "For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we will always be with the Lord." You understand, you know, it's not just, well, people are just hoping. No, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. These are all assurances that we have. You know what we're missing in church today? Passion. You know why we're missing the passion? It's because this is no longer the priority. We got to get back, folks. Got to get back. Where we're not just
studying it on Sunday morning. Not just studying it on Wednesday night. But where it's a part of our daily life. We got to pray about it. You know, I cannot express to you the importance of laying your Bible out, getting a notepad laid beside that, and crying out to God, "Lord, help me with this." You know, if we're sick, we'll pray, right? Won't we? If we're sick, we pray. If we're challenged or have some kind of difficulty, we'll pray. What makes you think you can open the Bible without crying out to God for understanding? You can't. You can't. Oh, you know, the psalmist said, "Your word is sweeter than honey to my mouth." If it's going to be sweet, you've got to approach it from the right perspective. We're going to stop right here. I said we'd stop and finish tonight. And that, Lord willing, we will do. But I want to ask you one final question. Do you have the assurance of heaven? Do you have that assurance? Do you know that if you were to die today, you're going to heaven? If you don't, you need to take care of that today. How do you do that? Very simply. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay? You cry out to Jesus and ask Jesus to save you. I can't do it for you. If I could, I would. People sitting around you can't do it for you. You see, it's the point of you committing your life to Jesus. And that's what you do. You know why I'm going to heaven? Not because I'm a preacher, not because I'm a good guy, because I'm none of those things. I'm going to heaven because I've been given a free gift of grace called salvation. And Jesus has promised that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Do you have that assurance? If not, we're going to have an invitation. We're going to sing two more songs. We're going to sing two more songs in just a moment. And I want to give you the opportunity to be saved. Maybe you're here and you know, and God's dealing with you on something else. Maybe He's calling you to a ministry. Maybe you're here and the Lord's leading you to become a member of this church. Let me just challenge you. Don't put it off any longer. Okay? Don't put God off. Don't do the "one of these days, God, I will." No, one of these days just don't come. Right? So what I'm going to ask you to do is bow your heads where you are. And I'm going to ask you to open your heart to the leading of God. And we're going to have a prayer together. And then Brother Dale is going to lead us in two songs. The first song is the invitation song. The time for you to respond to Jesus' call and leading upon your life. The second song is going to be a time of praise and honor, where we just lift up the name of our great God because He is a great God. Our staff members, myself, will be up front. And if you need us to pray with you, if you need us to show you in the Scripture how to be saved, if you need us, our help in anything in your walk with Jesus, will you come? Just take us by the hand, tap us on the shoulder and say, "Here's what I need." Folks, we'll be glad to help you. Oh, we'll be so excited to help you. Our goal and the goal of this service today is your relationship with Jesus. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we do praise you. We thank you for Jesus, the coming King, the Prince of Peace. Father, I pray now in this service that you would convict of sin, that you would melt hearts and cause us to be responsive to your leading. This is your invitation, Lord. I pray your will be done, and that the name of Jesus Christ be honored by every man. decision made. In Jesus' name.